Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's a happy hour. Welcome into Gwynn and Chris. 5:04 is the time. Chris, hello. Tony Gwynn Jr. settling in, doing his research on Ben Brown.
We still haven't gotten any.
He hasn't got back to us yet on with any information on Ben Brown. I'm sure Sammy Leavitt will have the insight on the Padre pregame show, which comes up at 6:05. We will hear from Sam Leavitt in this hour as he visits us in the wake of the Padres' thrilling 9-8 come-from-behind victory last night over the Chicago Cubs. Same two teams tonight with the start time a half hour later than normal. Tomorrow, they play at 3:40, an afternoon game, so we have a very short show tomorrow. But the exciting thing about tomorrow is that it'll be a Scrabinator Day. The host of the Scraby Chronicles, Matt Scraby, is hosting a big party in the Odyssey Suite.
I don't know how I'm not bringing. I sent an email out to everybody yesterday, and I said there will be no food, there will be no drink. I set all the rules.
Can you bring your own in?
Oh yeah, you can go out and bring that in.
No,
yeah,
you're
yeah.
allowing food.
Yeah,
you just
yeah,
don't.
Yeah.
You're not providing food.
No, I also would like to
understand this is the Scraby Chronicles. This isn't a big ticket show like Ben and Woods.
Well,
they have probably the budget.
I don't think Ben and Woods have done a sweet night.
No, I know, but if they did, they would have the budget, you know, to
make omelets
for everybody.
I'm okay with that.
You know, because they're a big ticket item on the station.
I'm still
the
working
Ben
my way
and Woods
into
the show.
Okay,
that's a big one here. I don't know if you're aware of that.
I am very well aware
yes,
of it. Now you got me all flustered. Oh, I sent an email saying, if we want this to happen again, everybody needs to be on their best behavior.
Bring it on in tomorrow. Have a good time out at the ballpark. And Scraby will hopefully be able to host some parties throughout the year. I think it's a really good idea. I'm going to come by, support my favorite show on the station, the Scraby Chronicles.
Yes, you are.
And all the listeners. So I'll see you all tomorrow. I tweeted this out this morning. Or maybe late last night after the game.
Oh, let me tell everybody.
All right.
Chris is tweeting more.
I'm trying to tweet a little bit more. Yeah. You can follow me at ChrisLOSD.
Mm-hmm.
I said someone funny once said of baseball, quote, you can describe it in two words. You never know. And, of course, the funny part of that is that it's three words.
I think you've told me that joke before, and single time I've fallen for it.
And then I said the Padres win one they should have lost. Just one day after losing when they should have won. I read this because I want to thank Jeff Goldberg out there. And I want to thank Tim Flannery out there. Both of them got back to me on the tweet and said it was actually a former Cardinals pitcher named Joaquin Andujar.
Okay.
Who was the responsible for that line. Now, Andujar was a pretty good pitcher back in the 1980s for the Astros and then the Cardinals. He was their ace in the mid-80s. He's famous for losing his mind during Game 7 of the 1985 World Series.
Now I got to look it up.
Losing, I mean, complete control of his emotions out on the mound because he thought he was being squeezed by the home plate umpire. This is Game 7 of the World Series, Cardinals and Royals. Joaquin Andujar loses it, and the Royals go on to win that last game, I think 11 or 13 to nothing,
World Series. I just saw it was 11-0.
11-0, yes. But Andujar lost his mind. And anyway, But he was asked to describe baseball in one word. That's the original line.
And that's where he said.
And he said, you never know. So that's kind of a funny line by Joaquin Andujar.
So I'm watching
it. Give him the proper credit.
It's a slow rolling ball. Oh, wow, that guy just went. What happened to his knee? Did he hurt his knee?
Andujar?
No, is it Dechinger calls Orta safe at first base?
That was game six.
Oh.
And then game seven.
Ah.
See, what happened was Don Dechinger was the umpire in game six of that World Series at first base. He blew the call.
Okay.
And the Royals survived to force a game seven. Well, so the next night, Dechinger rotated, and he was behind home plate. And the Cardinals were still mad at him from the night before.
Gotcha.
And when Andujar felt he was being squeezed by Don Dechinger, the home plate umpire, he lost his cool, like, big time, game seven.
Strangely enough, it's really, really hard to find him losing his mind.
They don't have video of
I'm sure
Andujar.
They do. It's just not as easy as I thought it would have been to find it.
Right. Game 7, 1985 World Series.
Yeah, I'm looking
That's what
through.
You're looking for if you need to find it. Speaking of pitchers who, I don't want to say this guy lost his cool, but certainly lost something. And that is Julio Urias of the Los Angeles Dodgers.
Oh, yes.
Now, I need somebody out there who's a little smarter than I am on the law.
Oh, I'm an
is
amateur.
That you?
I'm an amateur
You're my
law
guy?
Expert, yes.
Okay, perfect.
Okay.
Thank you, Perry Mason. Urias is not going to be charged with any felony domestic violence. All right. In fact, he was originally arrested in September on suspicion of felony domestic violence. Not going to be charged with any felonies, but he is apparently being charged with five misdemeanors.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to be arraigned on May the 2nd. The charges are one count of false imprisonment, which doesn't sound, too good. One count of spousal battery, one count of assault. And he gets two counts of domestic battery involving a dating relationship. So that's where that is.
Isn't there?
May 2nd is the next step for Julio Urias, the 27-year-old left-hander, ace of the Dodgers, now out of baseball and probably not going to be allowed back in anytime soon. So what's the deal? Is this better news for him or worse news for him? Or do we know?
I don't know.
Thank you.
Those are very serious charges.
They sound like they're pretty serious charges,
yeah,
but the fact that he stays out of a felony, is that in any way beneficial? I just don't know.
Yes, it's definitely better than a felony, because a felony means...
But five misdemeanors, is it like five misdemeanors add up to one felony?
I don't think
that's how
it works.
I don't either.
I think they're like a case-by-case basis.
Yeah. Somebody who's like, lawyer out there, sent Kaskabe a tweet or text or something, or put it in the chat. I'm just curious what Urias' prospects are. I'm reading Alden Gonzalez's article, and it's a little difficult to follow. Major League Baseball is investigating. They're expected to wait until all of the court stuff plays out. It's a shame. Urias... All of these young guys, you make these, look before you leap.
Yeah.
You're risking a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can't control, and I, can't say he did anything wrong. He hasn't been convicted of anything, but sounds like an awful lot of people saw him beating up his girlfriend.
Yeah.
So if you can't command your composure, that's too bad.
That is too bad, and it's just dumb.
Like, yeah.
Just stupid.
One other quick note. Framber Valdez, Houston Astros, disabled list, elbow injury. And Josiah Gray, Washington Nationals, ace, disabled list or injured list, elbow injury. This is a major problem that baseball, and I don't have the answer, don't know who has it, but they better come up with something soon. Pitchers are falling fast.
They are. Maria on the chat says they are misdemeanors, meaning he will have to take court-ordered domestic violence classes and probably be on probation.
Send the guy to anger management.
Oh, Chris.
Because that never works.
That's dangerous for you to say, because
yes,
there might be someone in their car right now thinking, I should go to anger management, and then they hear you and they're like, oh,
All right, just correct me if I'm wrong. You go to alcohol class or, you know, Alcoholics Anonymous.
Yes.
It works only if that person wants it to work. Is that correct or no? Would you agree with me there? Like if I go to AA, but I have no thought that I have a problem.
Yeah, it's not going to work.
Not going to work.
But it can work.
It can work if I'm committed to it having a chance to work.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
I got to believe that anger management works pretty much the same.
I would think a lot of those people are there court ordered. So yes, it might be
so
something.
They probably don't want to be there in general. And I'm just saying, unless you walk in and say, I have an anger management issue, please help me, I don't know that it can work. So I should have said it that way.
Okay. I didn't mean to make this
No, you're right, because there could be somebody driving around right there, out there, who took anger management, and it changed their life for the better. I hope that is the case.
I used to, before I stopped drinking, I had some anger problems, and one of the things that had helped me was, literally, you have to stop yourself from going forward with your thought. You have to literally stop yourself in your tracks and reset. That's all you have to do. Yeah. But I am an angry person sometimes.
It's apparently easier said than done for a lot of people.
Yeah, trust me.
A lot of people.
Trust me, Chris.
Gotcha. All right, when we come back, I want to hear from, who am I hearing from? Padres related. Mike Schilt tonight?
Oh. We are going to hear from...
some pre-game
I was looking
sound.
At brawny odds on being an Aztec. He's plus 1,200.
What's this?
Brawny James.
Oh, that's right. He's in the transfer portal.
Duquesne is the highest, plus 200. I don't understand why he would ever go to Duquesne. I don't get it. We're going to hear from Mike Schilt. That's about it for right now.
What are the odds on Kareem Abdul-Jabbar coming to the Aztecs? He's also in the transfer portal.
Haven't seen that one yet.
Brian Dutcher, if you're out there and you want to make a young man who I consider a friend to be very, very
happy.
Are
you talking about me?
I'm talking about you. Please sign up Kareem Abdul-Jabbar to play with the Aztecs. I don't know if he can play defense.
That would be tough.
But it would sure be fun to have him in San Diego. Scraby would go nuts.
By the way,
if that happened.
So Famous All Day on the chat says, you have a daily anger management segment. It's called the Daily Gripe.
True. Yes, you do.
And that's why I get all of it off my chest and I'm good.
Release it
into the world.
Padres sound from the ballpark. Get you set for tonight's game after traffic.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
522, Chris Ello, Matt Scraby, together in our Odyssey Palace Studios, Tony Gwynn Jr. at Petco Park. Padres and Cubs tonight, Sam Levitt joins us next. Then you'll hear more from him in the 6 o'clock hour with the Padre pregame show. That would be the Eco Water SoCal Padres pregame show with Sam Levitt. Follows this program. Following that program, Padres baseball. No Joe and the Padres taking on the Cubs.
The Cubs.
Team they beat last night, you might have heard about the game. 9-8 final. Padres rallying from 8-0 down. Did I see that was tied the largest comeback in franchise history?
Yeah, I think it was that's why Tony brought up Daniel Camarena earlier.
Daniel Camarena.
Which
game.
Is still, every time I see that highlight, I'm like, how did that even happen? Daniel Camarena in the grand slam off Max Scherzer. Not even hitting a cheap seat.
No, way
like
up
a,
there.
Like a, yeah, no doubter.
Way up there. Yeah, I recall that. A lot of people do, for sure.
That was fun. That was fun.
You know, I had something before I get to Mike Schilt.
Okay.
This is, I don't have a daily gripe segment.
Oh, yeah, here we go.
But I got one.
Okay.
I thought of you the other day.
All right.
This happens almost every time I go to Costco.
Okay.
It's a three-pronged Costco
gripe. All right.
First gripe.
Costco is very maddening.
Costco is a breeding ground for gripes, as far as I'm concerned.
Yes, it is.
First thing, are you one of those people that sits there in your car and waits for like 20 minutes for somebody to back out so that you can get a little spot closer to the front door?
Absolutely not. Depending on if you have limitations.
I can't stand that.
Yeah, if you can walk just fine, what
just
are you doing waiting?
Just walk another 10 yards.
Yeah, yeah.
But these people sit there, and then you sit behind them,
yeah,
and they got their blinker on, and you got to wait for this guy to back out so that this lazy bum can take their spot.
Yeah.
Oh, please.
Lazy bum. Second. So that's one prong.
Second, the person in Costco who is taking a walk around the aisles, staring off into the Netherlands with nowhere in particular to go.
Are they on their phones?
No. They're just pushing their cart and looking around up over here. No, you don't have to be a speed cart pusher, but at least have a little purpose to what you're doing in there.
No one goes to Costco and doesn't know what they're getting.
Some people go there because they have nothing else to do.
Oh, Maria's with you on this.
And so they walk around Costco looking over here, looking over there. Meanwhile, there's nine people who have something to get that are lined up behind their big fat cart. Please be aware of the other people. Third
prong.
The guy in line who doesn't have his Costco card out when it's going through line.
Yeah.
Then doesn't have his or her credit card out when it's time to pay.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Or the person that is still paying by check.
Okay, that really happens?
I've seen it. I don't have time for
it,
but I've seen it.
Ugh.
Please.
It's okay. I agree with all of your things. The check I haven't seen lately, but if you're waiting, and it's like TSA. Last time I flew, TSA, there was someone in front of me. You have about 15 or 20 minutes to pull out your ID and get your ticket ready and everything.
Yeah.
It's you get to the TSA
you get
thing.
Up to the guy and he goes, "Where's your ticket?" And you go, Oh, excuse me.
Sorry. I got to get it out. Like, you have 20 minutes. What are you doing?
Yeah.
What have you been doing this entire time? So I understand.
It's like the comedian who says, and I saw this the other night, if you're in line at KFC and you get to the front, you should be ready.
Yes.
They have one thing, chicken. That's it. You don't have a lot of decision making while you're in line. Figure it out so when it's your turn.
I agree with that, too. Those are three solid gripes, Chris. Those are very solid gripes. And people are feeling you on the chat. Chance says Costco is stupid crazy, especially the one in La Mesa.
There is no way that the one in La Mesa holds a candle onto its own. This is every Costco.
Prolific says the Costco buying food in line. You know what I'm talking about? When you go get like the hot dogs and the pizza, sometimes that line's really long.
I don't go to that line.
No. I've also heard that the gas station is a major fiasco for people. I've never really been to the Costco gas station.
I am fortunate enough to be the member of my family who was responsible for getting the gas in both our cars at Costco.
Why Costco? You live next to a gas station.
Because Costco is like 50 cents cheaper per gallon. It's a good bargain.
Let's talk about this then.
Well,
50 cents per gallon in like a 10-gallon car is only $5.
Yeah, 20-gallon, it's
$10.
$10, and if you get gas twice a month, it's $20 a month, and if you get it on two cars a month, it's $40.
You got me.
And if you do that for 12 months, it's $5,000.
Not $5,000, but you got me.
You got me. Anyway, and I also live with my wife, and if she can save a dollar, you'll go to Costco.
I understand. Simple. I understand 50 cents, but the people, like, when there's one gas station that's like 3 cents higher than the other, I'm not crossing the street for the 3 cent discount.
Agree with that.
Okay.
Agree with that. But I also get my Costco gas before 7 in the morning. That's the way to avoid. It's the only way to avoid the line. Otherwise, you got to sit in line for about a half an hour if you want to get gas at Costco.
Juan says, "How about the people that are ready to pay and need something else and make everyone wait?"
Juan, I saw one of those ladies the other day. I almost tackled her as she ran to the back.
Sorry, ma'am, you can't change your
you
mind.
You just don't get it.
Yeah,
you don't get it this time. You have to come back again.
Those are solid grapes, Chris.
Fair enough.
Solid.
All right. I didn't get to hear from Mike Schilt, but what did he say?
Oh, here he is. Yeah, let's listen to him real quick. It's a minute clip talking about why they brought up Brett Sullivan and why they sent down Graham Pauly.
The move to call up Brett Sullivan.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, we call Sully back. He's done a great job in AAA, had a great spring for us. You know, it was a conversation at the end of the camp about, you know, him staying or not being on the club. But goes down, has, you know, 2 5-hit games in El Paso. You know, it's also more about or equally about, you know, Graham Pauly just going and playing, you know, going to get those consistent at-bats. You know, a lot of positives came out of Graham being with us. You know, he proved to, not that he needed to. He earned his spot on the team to start the season. But, you know, just trying to figure out the balance of still developing here at the big leagues and then getting the opportunities rolled to other guys performing as well. And him just being able to go get those consistent bats, go play. He's done a lot of work to improve himself in all areas, but now it's time to, you know, he hadn't experienced AAA yet. So, you know, go down there, play, move around, get your bats, and be ready to come back and contribute. He did a great job when he was here, and how he handled it, and now he's got that experience to grow from.
All right, there you go. The Padres, yes, they did make that move today. Brett Sullivan called up, and Graham Pauly sent down.
I
think the one thing that wasn't said there was that Brett Sullivan's a third catcher.
Mm-hmm.
That means that when Higashioka catches, Campusano can now DH, and you would still have a backup catcher available.
That's huge.
I think it's big, and I think it's something to look forward to when Manny goes back to third base. I think you could see, you know, Campusano getting some DH time there. And in that regard, Manny was throwing some taking some grounders at third, throwing to first today.
Yeah.
But he's still at least 3 weeks away, if not more.
I said end of April.
Yeah,
that is three weeks.
So.
I said this on Friday about Graham Pauly, and it's nothing against Graham Pauly, but the Padres just can't afford to have someone who is not ready for the major league hitting level. Like, he...
I don't know about that. I just don't think you can afford to have 4 third basemen on the team.
No, I'm saying is Graham Pauly wasn't producing at all.
He hit a home run.
He did. He did. You're right.
Well,
he
don't say he didn't do anything. He hit a home run. I just don't think any team, I think a team's kind of hamstrung with 4 third basemen. You got Manny, you got Wade, you got Rosario, and you had Pauly. It's a lot of guys for one position.
It is.
Spread it around a little bit.
It is.
Sammy Leavitt got Gatorade tossed on him last night. That's how excited everybody was about that Padre come from behind victory. We'll revisit and relive it all when we come back. At 5:38 is the time. Welcome back to Gwen and Chris. Coming up, our visit with Sam Leavitt, reliving last night's classic Padre comeback and 9-8 victory over the Chicago Cubs. Speaking of classic, Scraby, today, the UEFA Champions League produced 2 classic matches. Soccer fans are beside themselves out there.
I'm going to sit back and let you dig
talking
your own
about
hole.
These 2 matches today in the UEFA Champions League. Now, one thing I will say, the UEFA Champions League is pretty awesome. Imagine if there were a Major League Baseball level in Europe and in South Africa and in South America. And then every year, top 4 teams from all of those leagues played each other. That would be pretty bueno.
That's cool, yeah.
So that's what happens in the Champions League. You get the top teams from the Premier League against the top teams in La Liga, against the top teams in Germany, top teams in the Serie A. You know, all of them play for the, you know, thing. I think that's pretty cool.
That is cool.
So today is the first, and the other thing I like about Champions League is it's 2 games. One game's played in one guy's home park.
Okay.
Or home
stadium.
Pitch. Whatever you want to, you know. Yeah. I don't want to get the soccer fans mad at me. I'm giving soccer some love right now. One is played in one guy's pitch, and the other one's played the next week in the other, okay? And then they take the results of the two games, and whoever scores the most wins. And then there's all kinds of tiebreakers that are kind of intricate.
Seems pretty fair to me.
And basically, every time a goal is scored, you know, it's Mardi Gras and everything changes. So today, though, they had two first leg matches in the quarterfinals of the Champions League. One is between Arsenal.
Oh, yeah. No,
all-time great from the Premier League. Bayern Munich, which is like, you know, the big thing in German League.
Yeah.
They played to a 2-2 draw. All right? So they will go now to Bayern for the second game next week to determine who goes to the semifinals. But the other quarterfinal match today was between the last two UEFA Champions League champions. One is Real Madrid. The other's Manchester City. And they were in Spain today. And they played a match that is being called one of the great matches in soccer history. Back and forth. 1-0, Real Madrid. 2-1, Manchester City. Late second half, Real Madrid ties it. Then scores to take a 3-2 lead. And then Manchester City, with about 10 minutes left, they tie it back. 3-3 draw. I mean, people...
Are you kidding me?
No, I've never seen anything quite like that, Donovan Mitchell.
No, anyway. That wasn't Donovan Mitchell. That was Wimbledon, but this is Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah, Donovan's...
I just
kind of lost.
Up. I did.
Yeah, don't.
I've never seen anyone ever do that.
There you go. So they go 3-3, Arsenal, Bayern 2-2. You soccer fans, if you saw some of that today, lucky you, because apparently this was as exciting as soccer gets. And tomorrow, it'll be the other two quarterfinals. Atletico Madrid will take on Borussia Dortmund. And Paris Saint-Germain will take on my guys.
Your guys.
I went to see them play at their home stadium, FC Barcelona.
There. Wow. Chris is like a soccer guy now.
Giving you your soccer update.
I wish we had relegation here. That would be cool.
Wouldn't that be nice to just send the Rockies to the minor leagues?
The Rockies and the A's are out of here.
You know, the A's wouldn't even make the AAA. They'd go to the AA. The Rockies might make AAA.
I'll take the Louisiana baby cakes up.
Bring them up. No kidding, man. Bring the Fort Wayne tin caps
there
up.
There we go.
Let them play Major League Baseball.
The El Paso Chihuahuas.
Until the A's get with it. I mean, really.
The A's have actually won some games this year so far.
But, you know, I mean, when you're the Rockies, I saw something the other day. The Rockies have not been above the top 26 in payroll in 9 years.
Wow.
Like,
that's a long
time. Just not even trying.
No, not at all.
What a shame that is to the, you know, people that are fans of that team.
Yeah.
All right. We're all Padre fans, especially after what they did last night. Traffic first, and then we relive last night's heroics with Sammy Leavitt.
Joining us on Gwen and Chris is none other than Sam the Great Leavitt. Sam, how are you, man? Are you dry up, man? You look like you caught a nice dose of Gatorade last night.
I did. The jacket got wet. The pants got wet. My hair was dripping. Yes, but I did dry off. It's funny. It looked on the video and like in real time like it was somewhat bluish Gatorade, but it was pretty light. And I got to tell you, my pants, which were, you know, khaki-colored pants, I have no stains on them, probably have to get the jacket dry cleaned. But I got fortunate. That was one of my older jackets last night. But, yes, a first for me in my baseball career, a Gatorade bath. And I didn't take the brunt of it. Fernando definitely did. But I got part of it, so I do feel like I was initiated into the Gatorade cooler bath club.
Are you going to send a bill to Manny Machado, or whoever it was who tossed the Gatorade, that is going to force you to have a bill at the dry cleaner, or are you just gonna eat this one yourself?
Well, there's no doubt that the guys that were involved, Manny and Fernando, could afford it, but
yes,
but I'm thinking Odyssey and Adam Klug. Maybe they'll cover
that. There you go.
Please charge them.
Yeah, please take it out of my salary, Sam. Make sure you take it out of my salary. That's good.
I would say, I don't know, man. That might be tough. That might be tough to get that back at that point. I will ask you about being in the building last night because this ball club was down 8-0. And Chris kind of brought this up. When the Padres scored the 7 and the 6, it was as loud it was as loud in this building as, you know, I've heard in quite some time. What was your take being in the building and kind of seeing the comeback come together the way it did?
Well, I thought the building was actually pretty loud on the Cronenworth home run. And I think that's a credit to the fans here in general. And I don't just say this to say it, and because we've got an audience full of Padres fans. I always feel like the crowd's into it, no matter really what the score is. When something good happens for the Padres, the fans here generally respond to it. And I thought it was that way last night after the Cronenworth home run. And then it sort of built from there. I thought, obviously, the momentum offensively the Padres had, but also in the stands by what you heard from the crowd. You could really feel it on the Kim two-run triple. It, in the blink of an eye, it went from 8-0 to 8-4. And you could feel, whether it was on the field or in the stands, I thought you could feel the momentum starting to shift. And then once Bogaerts hit the home run, really became kind of, okay, they've got a real shot to win this game. And to be honest with you, once Bogaerts hit the home run, I kind of felt like they had to win the game because, you know, had they lost at 8-7 or tied it at 8 and ultimately lost, or, you know, taken the lead and ultimately lost, you know, I think you could have made the argument you might as well have just lost 8-0, 8-1, 8-2 and saved kind of the heartache. But, you know, good for them. They showed a ton of fight. It's exactly what you want to see night in, night out, as cliche as that sounds. They showed exactly what you wanted last night, and it came from the big guys, right? It came from the guys that you want to carry this offense for the most part. So a big credit to them, no doubt.
You can relive it on tonight's pregame show. Sam Levitt hosts it following our program at 6:05 tonight, and then the Padres and Cubs game two of the series at 7:05. I think you hit on that, Sam. When they got to within 8-7, it felt like they had to win. Right? You got to finish this off. And then Fernando, of course, so good at stepping into the spotlight. And, you know, as Tony mentioned earlier, he's the guy you want up there, and he always, you know, plays a starring role and plays it well. But when then you got to the ninth inning and Suarez comes in, and you have that quick thought in the back of your mind, man, I hope this is a save he's really got to get, because you don't want to come all the way back and then lose the game. And you had the 2-3-4 hitters right in the heart of their lineup, and yet the crowd would not let him, you know, not get the job done. It felt like he rode their wave to that save.
Yeah, I loved it. 14 straight fastballs, right? I mean, he said to the middle of that lineup, come get it. And he blew it by him and obviously got a pop out in there as well. But, you know, look, I think one of the real bright spots of this early season, no doubt, has been the fact that Robert Suarez A, performed really well, but B, also shown you that he can give you multiple innings. And he has no problem, even this early in a season, going and getting 4 or 5 outs. So I think in the grand picture of the year so far, even though they're sitting at 6-7, you'd like the record to be a little bit better. I think the fact that Suarez, at least early, has really established himself as this team's closer and somebody who's in 3 outs, I think is really, really important in the short and long run. And I'll also say about the rally, I talked about the big guys carrying the way, and they did. But there were so many different aspects to that rally, right? Whether you want to point to, obviously, the at-bat that Cronenworth had. Something clicked for this team offensively once he had that at-bat. There was a clear change. And, by the way, it got Assad out of the game, who really they had not done anything against until that two-run homer. But the fact that Pedro Avila was able to settle down and give him 2 scoreless innings after giving up 4 in the fourth. The fact that Peralta and De Los Santos were able to keep it a one-run game. I mean, you know, that kind of comeback, the focus, the memories are always, you know, about the offense and the rally, but there are some other elements to it where you've got to keep that a one-run game at that time, and they did. So, look, Suarez, obviously a big part of it, shutting the door, and obviously the rest of the bullpen, aside from the one inning from Avila, they did a good job keeping it at 8-0 and then keeping it at 8-7.
Yeah, I turned to Jesse at one point after Avila's inning is like, after he came out, I was like, they got to throw up zeros from this point on. And that bullpen did just that. You mentioned Jake Cronenworth, who, you know, is coming off of a rough year. He seems to be thriving right now after some of the changes he's made and having Victor Rodriguez at the helm here. He's swinging a bat well. And it wasn't just the homer. It was kind of the way he's gone about, he went about that at bat. And it wasn't just him. Profar has had those kind of mm-hmm. Jackson Merrill had those kind of at bats. It seemed to be, you know, and that was discussed after the game, it seemed to be what Mike Shildt kind of leaned on when he was thinking about waving a white flag.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that they were able to grind out at bats like that, and you said it, Tony, whether it was Cronenworth, whether it was Profar, whether it was Merrill, the fact that they were down 8 runs, and Cronenworth in particular in that spot was able to grind out that kind of at bat, and then ultimately have the result he did with the home run. Yeah, I mean, I hope it says something about this team. I mean, in the first week of the year, we talked a lot about, you know, early signs and indicators, right, that this team was different than what it was a year ago. And then we have the 6-game stretch before last night where the offense isn't doing really much and they can't score than a few runs in a game. And you've got some of the memories and the feelings and some of the things and problems we saw last year sort of creeping back in. But, you know, I talked on Sunday after the game in San Francisco about that game being one you could pull right from the 2023 book, put it on the table and say, yep, that's one of those games from 2023 in San Francisco, right? And Sunday felt that way. Last night did not feel like 2023. That was
like
the kind of
two right there.
Right. That was the kind of grinding out at bats no matter the score, stringing hits together, moving the line, creating some momentum, and then ultimately coming up with the big swings and big moments when you need them. I mean, how about Fernando? I mean, I know I'm stating the obvious here, but to get knocked down on the first pitch and then the second pitch to hit one out, I mean, that is, I mean, I wasn't here for it, but that sounds to me kind of like 2021 Fernando Tatis Jr., right? The flair for the dramatic, the feel for the moment, the big swing, everything he did but before the injuries. So, yeah, I mean, I think you hope in the long run it says something about this group, and I thought no doubt last night that felt uniquely 2024, you hope, and not very much like 2023, and you hope you have more nights like those. So to their credit, you hope it's something now they can build on.
I don't know. You can talk all you want about that game last night, but I think it all comes down to Spike Lee, and I think it's got to be the shoes. It's got to be the shoes, buddy.
Mars Blackman.
Mars Blackman, yeah, not Spike Lee. Spike Lee as Mars Blackman. It's got to be the shoes. Fernando is nothing if not an entertainer, Sammy. And mm-hmm. I think that, you know, this is one of the real pleasures that we're getting from watching this guy play on a daily basis. He lives for running out there to right field before the game and stirring up the crowd. He loves, you know, giving them a little extra flair with the shoes and a little extra flair with the dramatic. And by the way, Scraby said he timed it and he ran around the bases in exactly 19 seconds. Whether he did that on purpose or not, it's still another tribute to Tony Gwynn. You know, just talk about covering this guy and just being around him. Yeah. You get to do something that not very many of us do, and that's, you know, interview him. We've been begging for a Fernando interview, if any Padre people are listening, for a while now, and we haven't had him on this show that I can recall in a while.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you get to talk to him all the time. I mean, he's so fun, and he's such an amazing presence.
Yeah, I think there are a few things that stand out about Fernando when you hear from him every day and you get the chance to talk to him. Number one, I think he's somebody who really understands his responsibility as a key player, as a star in the game and for his team. I mean, I don't think it's talked about enough. Throughout last season, I mean, he was up there in front of the media most nights talking, right? And you know, accountable, and I just find him to really understand, you know, what he means to this team, what he means to this city, how important he is, the responsibility he has between the player he is, the contract. I just the vibe I've always had is that he really gets it, and he understands what that responsibility is, and he's somebody who obviously plays with joy and energy, and he's super fun to watch, and it's part of why he's so electric. It's part of why the fans love him here so much. It's part of the why, you know.
Joining us on Gwen and Chris is none other than Sam the Great Levitt. Sam, how are you, man? Are you dry up, man? You look like you caught a nice dose of Gatorade last night.
I did. The jacket got wet. The pants got wet. My hair was dripping. Yes, but I did dry off. It's funny. It looked on the video and like in real time, like it was somewhat bluish Gatorade, but it was pretty light. And I got to tell you, my pants, which were, you know, khaki-colored pants, I have no stains on them. Probably have to get the jacket dry clean, but I got fortunate. That was one of my older jackets last night. But yes, a first for me in my baseball career, a Gatorade bath. And I didn't take the brunt of it. Fernando definitely did. But I got part of it, so I do feel like I was initiated into the Gatorade cooler bath club.
Are you going to send a bill to Manny Machado, or whoever it was who tossed the Gatorade, that is going to force you to have a bill at the dry cleaner? Or are you just gonna eat this one yourself?
Well, there's no doubt that the guys that were involved, Manny and Fernando, could afford it, but.
Yes,
but I'm thinking Odyssey and Adam Klug. Maybe they'll cover
that. There you go.
Please charge them.
Yeah, please take it out of my salary, Sam. Make sure you take it out of my salary. That's good.
I would say, I don't know, man. That might be tough. That might be tough to get that back at that point. I will ask you about being in the building last night, because this ball club was down 8-0. And Chris kind of brought this up when – the Padres scored the 7 and the 6. It was as loud it was as loud in this building as, you know, I've heard in quite some time. What was your take being in the building and kind of seeing the comeback come together the way it did?
Well, I thought the building was actually pretty loud on the Cronenworth home run. And I think that's a credit to the fans here in general. And I don't just say this to say it, and because we've got an audience full of Padres fans. I always feel like the crowd's into it, no matter really what the score is. When something good happens for the Padres, the fans here generally respond to it. And I thought it was that way last night after the Cronenworth home run. And then it sort of built from there. I thought, obviously, the momentum offensively the Padres had, but also in the stands by what you heard from the crowd. You could really feel it on the Kim two-run triple in the blink of an eye. It went from 8-0 to 8-4, and you could feel, whether it was on the field or in the stands, I thought you could feel the momentum starting to shift. And then once Bogaerts hit the home run, really became kind of, okay, they've got a real shot to win this game. And to be honest with you, once Bogaerts hit the home run, I kind of felt like they had to win the game because, you know, had they lost at 8-7 or tied it at 8 and ultimately lost, or, you know, taken the lead and ultimately lost, I think you could have made the argument. You might as well have just lost 8-0, 8-1, 8-2, and saved kind of the heartache. But, you know, good for them. They showed a ton of fight. It's exactly what you want to see night in, night out, as cliche as that sounds. They showed exactly what you wanted last night, and it came from the big guys, right? It came from the guys that you want to carry this offense for the most part. So a big credit to them, no doubt.
You can relive it on tonight's pregame show. Sam Levitt hosted following our program at 6:05 tonight, and then the Padres and Cubs game 2 of the series at 7:05. I think you hit on that, Sam. When they got to within 8-7, it felt like they had to win. Right? You got to finish this off. And then Fernando, of course, so good at stepping into the spotlight. And, you know, as Tony mentioned earlier, he's the guy you want up there, and he always plays a starring role and plays it well. But then you got to the ninth inning and Suarez comes in, and you have that quick thought in the back of your mind, man, I hope this is a save he's really got to get, because you don't want to come all the way back and then lose the game. And you had the 2-3-4 hitters right in the heart of their lineup, and yet the crowd would not let him, not get the job done. It felt like he rode their wave to that save.
Yeah, I loved it. 14 straight fastballs, right? I mean, he said to the middle of that lineup, come get it. And he blew it by him and obviously got a pop out in there as well. But, you know, look, I think one of the real bright spots of this early season, no doubt, has been the fact that Robert Suarez A, performed really well, but B, also shown you that he can give you multiple innings. And he has no problem, even this early in a season, going and getting four or five outs. So I think in the grand picture of the year so far, even though they're sitting at 6-7, you'd like the record to be a little bit better. I think the fact that Suarez, at least early, has really established himself as this team's closer and somebody who's in three outs, I think is really, really important in the short and long run. And I'll also say about the rally, I talked about the big guys carrying the way, and they did. But there were so many different aspects to that rally, right? Whether you want to point to, obviously, the at-bat that Cronenworth had. Something clicked for this team offensively once he had that at-bat. There was a clear change. And, by the way, it got Assad out of the game, who really they had not done anything against until that two-run homer. But the fact that Pedro Avila was able to settle down and give him two scoreless innings after giving up four in the fourth. The fact that Peralta and De Los Santos were able to keep it a one-run game. I mean, you know, that kind of comeback, the focus, the memories are always, you know, about the offense and the rally, but there are some other elements to it where you've got to keep that a one-run game at that time, and they did. So, look, Suarez, obviously a big part of it, shutting the door, and obviously the rest of the bullpen, aside from the one inning from Avila, they did a good job keeping it at 8-0 and then keeping it at 8-7.
Yeah, I turned to Jesse at one point after Avila's inning is like, after he came out, I was like, they got to throw up zeros from this point on. And that bullpen did just that. You mentioned Jake Cronenworth, who, you know, is coming off of a rough year. He seems to be thriving right now after some of the changes he's made and having Victor Rodriguez at the helm here. He's swinging a bat well. And it wasn't just the homer. It was kind of the way he's gone about. He went about that at bat. And it wasn't just him. Profar has had those kind of at bats. Jackson Merrill had those kind of at bats. It seemed to be, you know, and that was discussed after the game, it seemed to be what Mike Shildt kind of leaned on when he was thinking about waving a white flag.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that they were able to grind out at bats like that, and you said it, Tony, whether it was Cronenworth, whether it was Profar, whether it was Merrill, the fact that they were down 8 runs, and Cronenworth in particular in that spot was able to grind out that kind of at bat, and then ultimately have the result he did with the home run, I hope it says something about this team. I mean, in the first week of the year, we talked a lot about, you know, early signs and indicators, right, that this team was different than what it was a year ago. And then we have the 6-game stretch before last night where the offense isn't doing really much and they can't score than a few runs in a game. And you've got some of the memories and the feelings and some of the things and problems we saw last year sort of creeping back in. But, you know, I talked on Sunday after the game in San Francisco about that game being one you could pull right from the 2023 book, put it on the table and say, yep, that's one of those games from 2023 in San Francisco, right? And Sunday felt that way. Last night did not feel like 2023. That
felt
was
like
the kind 2022 of
right there.
Right. That was the kind of grinding out at bats no matter the score, stringing hits together, moving the line, creating some momentum, and then ultimately coming up with the big swings and big moments when you need them. I mean, how about Fernando? I mean, I know I'm stating the obvious here, but to get knocked down on the first pitch and then the second pitch to hit one out, I mean, that is, I mean, I wasn't here for it, but that sounds to me kind of like 2021 Fernando Tatis Jr., right? The flair for the dramatic, the feel for the moment, the big swing, everything he did but before the injury. So, I think you hope in the long run it says something about this group, and I thought no doubt last night that felt uniquely 2024, you hope, and not very much like 2023, and you hope you have more nights like those. So to their credit, you hope it's something now they can build on.
I don't know. You can talk all you want about that game last night, but I think it all comes down to Spike Lee, and I think it's got to be the shoes. It's got to be the shoes,
Marcus Blackman.
Mars Blackman, yeah, not Spike Lee. Spike Lee as Mars Blackman. It's got to be the shoes. Fernando is nothing if not an entertainer, Sammy. And I think that, you know, this is one of the real pleasures that we're getting from watching this guy play on a daily basis. He lives for running out there to right field before the game and stirring up the crowd. He loves, you know, giving them a little extra flair with the shoes and a little extra flair with the dramatic. And by the way, Scraby said he timed it, and he ran around the bases in exactly 19 seconds. Whether he did that on purpose or not, it's still another tribute to Tony Gwynn. You know, just talk about covering this guy and just being around him. Yeah. You get to do something that not very many of us do, and that's, you know, interview him. We, you know, we've been begging for a Fernando interview, if any Padre people are listening, for a while now, and we haven't had him on this show that I can recall in a while.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you get to talk to him all the time. I mean, he's so fun, and he's such an amazing presence.
Yeah, I think there are a few things that stand out about Fernando when you hear from him every day and you get the chance to talk to him. Number one, I think he's somebody who really understands his responsibility as a key player, as a star in the game and for his team. I mean, I don't think it's talked about enough. Throughout last season, I mean, he was up there in front of the media most nights talking, right? And you know, accountable, and I just find him to really understand, you know, what he means to this team, what he means to this city, how important he is, the responsibility he has between the player he is, the contract. The vibe I've always had is that he really gets it, and he understands what that responsibility is. And he's somebody who obviously plays with joy and energy, and he's super fun to watch. And it's part of why he's so electric. It's part of why the fans love him here so much. It's part of the why, you know, younger fans love him so much, because he just brings this joy to the game. But he also has this, I think when you talk again about understanding, like an understanding of the moment, he always says it, right? Something along the lines of doing what the game asks of him, you know? And I just think he understands what a game is presenting, what situations present, and kind of gets what his role is and understands that he's got to step up and be that guy when his team needs it. And again, I know that sounds super cliche, but we saw it in 21, and man, we saw it here last night. So, you know, I'm always impressed by just Fernando and, you know, what he continues to show. And obviously he went through a lot, you know, in 22 and then coming back last year from the suspension and the injuries, but I'm very, very excited, you know, to see what his mid to late 20s look like and really the next decade or so, because I think there are a lot of great things ahead, and he's going to be a, you know, a real force and a real kind of, you know, leading part of this team, no doubt.
Pray for health, because if he's healthy,
yeah,
it's going to be, the sky is honestly the limit for Toddy. Sam, as always, man, terrific job last night, and thanks for coming on and kind of peeling the curtain back for us.
All right, guys, thanks so much. Appreciate it.
KWFN and KWFN HD1 San Diego.
Hey, it's Chris Ello. Nobody gets along with his radio partners like I do, even Matt Scraby. Listen for yourself, weekdays 2 to 6 p.m., Gwynn and Chris on 97.3 The Fan.
Always live on the free Odyssey app.
Nothing like interrupting yourself on the radio there. I just started to talk, and then I interrupted myself.
I have a little secret.
What am I doing?
I keep your volume all the way down if I know you may have not heard me say something.
Oh, so people didn't hear me try to talk?
Correct.
That's good.
Yeah.
All right, we got a couple of minutes to fill here before we go to the pregame show.
One.
Not too much. I got Scraby working on seeing a movie called The Sting tonight with Paul Newman and Robert Redford. If you're of my era, it was Best Picture many years ago in the 70s, but I think Scraby will love it. If you ever saw The Sting, send him a quick note on the chat. Let him know whether you think he'll like it. I think he will. I'll look forward to a report in the next few days. You're pretty good at seeing a lot of the movies, I tell you. And usually you like the ones I tell you. Is that true?
I do.
I don't send you, you know, off course.
I really liked Capricorn 1.
You did like that one.
That is up my alley right
there. That was right up your alley, yeah.
And OJ has one of the best deaths in that movie.
OJ pays a heavy price in Capricorn 1.
Karma got him early, I guess.
If you know Scrape, you know why he likes Capricorn 1, because it's a great conspiracy movie. Ooh, that's why. Exactly. He loves that stuff. I try to send him back to some of the old-timers that he might have missed. I'm trying to do you a favor, like my dad, not that I'm your dad.
I know.
But my
dad
used to do that for me. He'd say, you got to see On the Waterfront. Marlon Brando, 1950s. I'm like, eh. She goes, no, it's so good. And he was always right. Alfred Hitchcock movies, you can't go wrong.
Oh, I love them.
You can't go wrong in an Alfred Hitchcock movie.
They're all remarkably good. I do think Psycho's a little overrated.
That one is overrated. The rest of them are underrated.
The Birds.
Yeah, Birds, Rear Window.
Oh, that one is a good one.
North by Northwest, they're all good.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.